Okay. All right, so, yeah, we're gonna be looking at 18 through 21. In a minute, but we're gonna pray first. Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in Sunday school. We just thank you, Lord, for your watch care over us. Lord, we just pray with those that are still on their way, Lord, that you give them traveling mercies. Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts, help us to glean from your word, and to apply it to our lives. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so last week we were talking about spirit-filled versus spirit-controlled and trying to figure out the difference in that. We are filled with the Holy Spirit at salvation, but how much of the Spirit has us? How much have we relinquished of ourselves to the Holy Spirit? That's the controlling part. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, like the Lord is. He's not going to come in where he's not wanted. We can quench the Holy Spirit. You've heard that word before. And that's when you hear the Holy Spirit's voice, you feel his instruction, but you choose to not do anything about it. You disregard what he's saying. You I can't right now. I'm not sure what to say to this person. You feel a prompting from the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we let our busy lives get in the way. We're not listening. The Lord speaks in a still, small voice. But sometimes we're too busy. There's too much commotion going on in our lives. And we can't hear that little voice. We're not paying attention and specifically looking for that little voice to be able to hear it. We put too many things in our lives and we crowd it out. We have to be careful. We feel like we're being busy for the Lord, but are we really doing it for our gratification, or are we really doing it for the Lord's gratification? You can be too busy. If you're too busy to stop and have quiet time and spend time with the Lord, and you're doing all of these ministry things, but you're not spending time in his word, you're just not meditatively, you're not having any like downtime where you're really focusing on the Lord, then you need to kind of look at your priorities, because they may be a little out of whack in a sense. So that's basically, as we get into the rest of the book, we need to start focusing on the Holy Spirit's leading, because the fruit that we have been imparted with, the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to go into, we have all of those attributes, but how we're going to bring them all out, we don't need to use them all at one time. You will probably use some with others and some by themselves. And like I shared at that devotion at the ladies' meeting, love and joy are the first ones. They're the most important because they bleed into all the other ones. You generate the other attributes easier if love and joy are evident in your life, because you're exhibiting that fruit of the Spirit. But we're going to break those all down in a little while when we get into that next chapter. So Ephesians 5, 18 was our memory verse for this chapter. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So, fill. Is that a word like you fill something up.
What do you mean? Is that a word?
In that verse, to you, does it mean that he's filling you up, or does it mean something else? To be filled with the Spirit.
That he indwells and within you.
Right. Well, we know that we have this Holy Spirit when we got saved.
But we don't always utilize it.
So it's more a controlling attribute. No, it's more how much control have I truly given to the Holy Spirit? What am I still holding on to in my life and in my heart that he doesn't have control over? Because if we're truly filled with the Spirit, every aspect of my life, I am going to look to the Holy Spirit and the Lord for guidance. But we don't. We take things upon ourselves, and we are the ones that are in control of them. We say we're, you know, the Lord is in control of my life.
Correct. It's up to us. It is.
It is up to you. Have all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get, but how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? So I just want to look the word filled up in the concordance, just to get, just to let us know that we're on. Yes, it says filled. So filled, we're in Ephesians, this is John, Acts, Romans, Ephesians 5:18. It's 41:37. 41 is it going to be in the New Testament? So I'm going to be in the back here. Okay, so it says to cram, like in a net. You know how the net was filled to overflowing, the Bible says? To level, like if there's a hollow place, to make it level. To influence, to finish, to verify. So the Holy Spirit is there to let us know if what we're doing is right or not. He will guide us to that point that if we ask, Lord, should I be doing this? The Holy Spirit will tell you if this is a yes, if this is a no. If you're not hearing anything, if you don't get any kind of peace about a decision you're making, or should I go there, or should I talk to this person, or should I even be involved in, you know, this conversation? You know whether or not it's right. And sometimes, you know, pastor will say, if you can't find, you know, a scripture, or you can't find something in the Bible that says yes or no, then the Holy Spirit will let you know whether or not. It's just we don't tend to, you know, want to listen. But that's what the filling, it's like confirming. It's letting us know that that we are to coincide, to be in agreement with. It is another word that he's talking about. To fulfill, to supply, to be complete is another part that I like. But it also is like to execute, like to do something. It's also that the Holy Spirit helps us to. It's hard to walk up to people and give them a track or share it with them, but
even if, to talk to them.
Right, but if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, it says to execute, to be able to accomplish something. But I can get that done not through my strength, but through the Holy Spirit's filling. So that's one way that we can know that we're giving ourselves away is when, well, you know, but that, you know, they may say something to me, or, you know, they may do this, or they may, well, get out of yourself and think about, you know, are they going to heaven or are they going to hell? It's like the pastor's always saying about being soul conscious. Well, sometimes we're not as much as we should be. I know I'm always asking the Lord, please show me, give me somebody, you know, that I can talk to, or I can at least give a track to, or, you know, this is like, seem like I'm like in my own little sphere at work and that, and I'm not venturing out and meeting other people. And it's like, ooh, it's like I can talk to people at church, and it's like I know all the people at work, so it's comfortable to talk to them, but I don't want to go talk to strangers. So, yeah. So, we went over this little section here where about a person is, when they're drunk with wine, like the memory verse says, they act differently, they talk differently, they walk differently. You know, you can tell when somebody's under the influence. Well, a person that's filled with the Spirit should also walk differently and talk differently and act differently and think differently and feel things differently than they did when they were not filled with the Spirit. So, we went over the four parts of how we can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We have to keep our life Christ-centered. We have to stay in God's Word. We have to be yielded and submissive, not giving in to ourselves, and we have to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. We know what's right and wrong to do. We just need to do a reality check every so often in our lives. Am I measuring up? Have I let things creep into my life that shouldn't be there? Because like we've learned from the very beginning of this book we've been doing, we all have sin. We're all going to have sin. It's just how much of the sin has control of us and how much does the Holy Spirit have control of us. So it's a growing process. It's a learning process. But it's never going to get to the point where it's all done. It's all, you got it under control, because it ain't going to happen. Okay, so keeping a Christ-centered life. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3.
Philippians what?
Philippians chapter 3. We're on page 30 in our book, Kathy. So you can...
It's the next chapter over.
Yeah, Philippians is right after Ephesians. So you like turn a page.
And then you go to verse 10.
Yeah, verse 10 through 14 is where we're going to be.
Is that chapter 3? No. You go to chapter 3, huh? Right,
here's
3.
Okay.
Now you go to chapter verse 10.
Yeah, in our book we're on page 30 at the bottom.
In our book?
Yeah, in that book. So it says, read Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehended that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So even though Paul, who we all think is like, you know, one of the best Christians in the Bible, he's saying, I don't always achieve what I set out to achieve, to do for the Lord, but I keep pressing on. I keep persevering. I keep apprehending. That's what that word means. Apprehending is I'm trying to get there, and I may not reach it on the, like, say my first go round, but I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm pressing toward that, the finish line. I'm going in the right direction. I might have to take a step back and, you know, a few more steps forward, but it's like he always used to compare himself to a runner running a race. The runners would train and train and train, and the Romans were very big on exercise and that kind of stuff, and so they were always having races and showing their prowess and all of this. So he attained that to his spiritual life, that as a runner has to train, and you have to, you know, you have to keep doing it. You just can't, oh well, I'm going to go run a race today, and you never do any training or anything else about it. Well, you're not going to do very well in this race. But if every day you're pressing a little further, and you're going a little further, and you're going a little further, and you get just a little bit stronger in your walk and in your faith every day, when you overcome something, you overcome an obstacle that's hard for you, having a prayer time, reading your Bible consistently, all of these things, if each day it gets a little better and a little better, you're pressing toward the mark, you're moving forward. You may have a step back, but you're still, I'm moving forward. I'm going in the right direction. I'm going to attain the goal at the end when I get to heaven, and the Lord's going to say, well done. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what we need to, that's being a Christ-centered life, where our focus stays on the Lord, and it's still an up and down battle, just like everything else, but I'm pressing, I'm trying to achieve the goal that is set before me, to be Christ-centered, to have my thought pattern be more focused on the Lord. And the more we do, just like with the filling up of the cup that we did the other day in our little experiment, the more you put in there of the good stuff, the more the bad stuff gets flushed out. So if I can get rid of things in my life that are detriment, but I'm putting something in its place, I'm still moving forward. I'm not going backwards. And that's kind of what he's saying. And also in Romans 8, it talks about that same thing, striving, putting away our desires, putting the Lord first. And little by little, you'll see that your life is being transformed. What was that?
I said, it's like me taking showers.
Right.
Well, I got fear taking showers because the guy's next door.
Oh, okay.
And I said to Jerry, it's like me taking showers because I got fear of those guys next door. I said, come on, Kathy, go take a shower.
But you can do it now.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm still afraid, but I do it.
Very good. And sometimes we let our fear get in the way of doing something, mm-hmm. that it could be as simple as taking a shower, or as simple as going next door and giving my neighbor a track, or speaking to the person that, when you're outside, that was walking by with their dog. You know, if you have a fear about something, sometimes it's this, Lord, I know you're with me, and I know you're going to help me overcome this, and I have to take that step. I have to say, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm not going to let my fear and other things in my life, you know, control me, and, you know, to stop me from doing what the Lord wants me to do. That was good, Kathy. So, obedience helps grow our faith as well. We know we're to be obedient in reading our word and praying and coming to the services and And the more we're obedient and we determine that we're going to do what the Lord says, it just makes each new step a little easier, a little better, because we're seeing that we're moving on the pathway. We made one step, good. Now I can do one more step, and I can move a little bit closer to what the Lord has me to do. Okay, so the next one, question 6 on 31, it says, we may know God's word, we hear it taught all the time. Why is it so important that we look into the perfect law of liberty or God's word every day? So let's go to James. It says, go to James chapter 1. Right after Hebrews is James. Toward the back of the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 22. Sharon, can you read 22 through 25 for me?
Sure.
But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth that what manner a man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Very good. So he's saying, okay, so we all look in the mirror, basically looking in the glass, and we see this part of ourselves. We just see the outward shell. And that's what everybody else sees. But you, yourself, when you look in a glass, you see more than what other people see. You see the parts of you that you don't like. You see the parts that you hide from other people. You see more than what is outward. So the more that we're in God's word, the more things we get to see of who Jesus is. We know who Jesus is intellectually. We know who Jesus is because we've been in church for X amount of time. But the who Jesus really is the more we're that was coming. So it's like, oh, stop, don't come.
See, I took it as another way.
Okay.
I took it as though if you're not in the Word, which before I go to work every morning, I read the Word. But if you're not in the Word every day,
right,
then you may forget His Word, because what's not before you is forgotten.
Exactly, and that's a very good point. That's why it's important that we examine ourselves and see what it is that, you know, am I running on my own strength? Have I spent time in God's word? Am I using His strength and the Holy Spirit? Am I really being controlled by them? Because if I am, then I'm going to be in His word first thing in the morning or any other opportunity. What's nice I like about my Bible app on my phone is that because I have that with me, and I can easily, you know, on my little breaks, I can just pull up a scripture verse and I can read, you know, a couple of verses just to, it could just be whatever the verse of the day is. I just read that and a few more and you know, I'm done. And in my car, I can turn it on and it has a, like, somebody's talking, which is really funny because it's this computer animated voice, and it's really strange because some of the words they don't say right, and it just cracks me up because it's but at least I'm hearing it. It's going into my thought pattern. And because some days I don't have, well, I do have, but I let other things crowd out my morning, and I'm trying to do other stuff in my house and all this before I go to work, instead of, you know, just focusing on. So some days I read more in the morning than I should, but I don't read.
I have a Bible CD that, like, when I go across town.
Right.
For one of my clients, it takes about 30 minutes to get there.
Yeah, see, and that's, you know, or even because it's the back in Ephesians, it said speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, having good music in your car that you're listening to. It's talking about the Lord. It's helping you keep your focus. You're praising the Lord. I love driving in the morning and I don't turn the radio on or anything, because from my house to where I go to work, I get to see the mountains. The whole, and it's like, I just, it's like the morning is beautiful and the sun is up and the mountains are beautiful and we live in this beautiful town, and it's just, and it's like my heart just gets fuller and fuller as I'm going to work, and I try to have less focus on the crazy drivers that aren't driving the speed limit, and I'm, you know, and it's like, okay, Lord, just, you know, it's just you and me and here we go. And I like that part of the morning where it's like I can just be quiet, but I can focus on Him. And that's just another way that we can be transforming of ourselves. You can put it on in your house. You're cleaning house or doing stuff when you're at home, and you can listen to Christian music, or it's a way to keep your focus where it needs to be. Yes, Leah?
What I do in the morning, after I read the, before I read the devotion, I pray for every for everyone, including the missionary and the
right.
People. And I pray to God for everybody in the world that the people get saved, because they need to be saved. And then I read the devotion and the daily prayers, and then do Pastor and Miss Wilson a prayer. Unless, and I study the prayer list from Miss Rosa and Pastor.
Oh, okay.
And then I get into the, before I get into the car, before I get out of the house, I have to pray for safety. For
right.
And then I go to my car and turn on my CD for all the music that we have in the church.
Right.
It's a really nice a compliment, and you had to me, that's for me to submit to God.
Right, and it keeps your heart and your mind in tune into, you know, you can, you know, some people like to listen to the news in their car. Well, after doing that for so many days, it's like, okay, this is so depressing. It's like, And I'm like in this totally different kind of mindset than if I don't turn the radio on and I just focus on looking around me and seeing the pretty day and the weather's lovely at this time of the morning, and it's like the mountains are beautiful and I love them, and it's like, thank you, Lord, for your creation, and the cactus are blooming, and it's just... But it's like my focus is somewhere totally different than where, you know, where other mornings it has been. So if we acknowledge the fact that our sinful nature is going to rear its ugly head at times, and it's going to have more control of my life than the Holy Spirit does, and not, I've known people that they get discouraged very easily because they feel like they're not achieving anything, because here they are doing the same thing that they, you know. Yes, that can be very discouraging, but if you keep focusing on what you're not able to get accomplished or what you feel like you don't have control over, and focus more on what I have been able to do, it gets you, it kind of lifts you up. You see that I actually do more than I thought. I do have more things in my life right than I have wrong. And but if we're inwardly focusing on the negative, then we ourselves crowd out the positive that is actually happening in our lives. Exactly.
Yes.
You start doing, start writing them down. Start writing blessings down. Oh my, you, and then one leads to another, and you're like, after a while, it's like, Well, look at me. I'm like, I really am blessed. It's like, thank you, Lord. You know, it's like.
The pastor did a thing a long time ago. I don't even remember the name of the thing, but it was like he challenged us. I still do it at times, like I used to, but like, I don't have as much time, free time.
Exactly.
But I used to when I drive across town. And it's like each day you take a letter, and you think of through the out the day, you think of praise God. There's many things to start with that letter, like A for the air, for the apples, for whatever.
And it really, but it keeps your focus on all the good stuff.
And
it's
if
like
you're looking throughout the day, like me, I would look and I see, oh, that's my good name.
And you get all excited. It's like
or B or whatever day that.
Exactly. Oh, that sounds like fun. Yeah. But I remember having a challenge one time in our ladies group when we were in England. She said, okay, I want you to start, we're going to put on a timer, but I want you to start writing down your blessings, things that you count as a blessing in, you know, 15 minutes. And we were all like, and at first, before it was like hard to, you automatically think of your family and your children, and you know. But then, all of a sudden, you write something down, and it's like, oh, and then this, and you're like, you know, people are turning their pages over, and they're writing, and everybody's writing so fast that half time we couldn't even read what we wrote down. But where people were like, wow, I didn't realize I had so many, because you think of like superficial blessings. We think of our blessings in this realm, but we have like all these heavenly blessings and all these wonderful things. And it's just like the more you start writing them down, the more you find that you have, which is very good. So being yielded, that's always a hard one. Yielding, like the stop signs, the yield, you know, it's like that's really, you know, we have them in our world for a reason, because if you don't yield, at times you can get run over by a truck, you know. So it's like you may step off a cliff, you know. Being yielded, not only in our realm of the world with traffic and everything else, there are times when we have to look around us and yield to things that are coming in our direction. Well, the Lord puts things in our paths as a stop, not necessarily always a stopping point, but as a
building block.
Yeah, or a you know, a diversion. Yeah, that's what the word is, like,
okay.
It's do I go this way or do I go that way? Well, we automatically want to go the path of least resistance. As people, we just tend to do that. But the Lord may say, no, I want you to go that way. Well, am I going to be yielded enough to go that way when I don't know what's around the corner? When I can lean over this way and go, ooh, that's a straight shot right over there. Ooh, and that looks pretty clear. But the Lord keeps saying, no, I want you to go around this way where, you know, there's a few more obstacles in the way and you can't see where the path is. And I have to realize that He already knows what's on the other side of that path. He's directed me that way. There has to be a reason. It builds my faith. It's going to build my trust. But I'm being yielded. I'm listening to what He wants me to do. And sometimes we don't automatically know that we've had to do that until we're past it. And then we see, oh, wow. Look what I just accomplished. Look what, you know, what I set out to do. But the Lord had a little different way on the path that I thought. But look how much I've gleaned or I've grown or the Lord's taught me in that journey that we just took. Especially in doing something brand new. Like I haven't taught for a long time, and pastor's like, why don't you teach ladies class? And I'm like, oh, Lord. All right, pastor, I'll pray about it. So now I'm praying, and the Lord says, you could do this. And I'm like, but I don't. And I'm hemming and hawing. And
remember, it's his strength, not yours.
Raven, Randy. Rodney. I keep calling him Randy. Rodney.
Wait for that guy
that tells me 5 minutes.
Starts with an R.
And, you know, little by little, it's like, all right, Lord. And you kind of put the fleeces out there, like, okay, I'll do it if, you know, da-da-da-da. And he's like, no, you can do this. In my strength, you can do this. And I'm like, So finally I said yes, and then it was like, okay. Well, then it got closer and closer to the time for the first class, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. This is going to be really hard. But it's like, I love this class. This is like, but it's given me a focus that I didn't have, that I was trying to figure out what to do to improve my Bible study, and now I have a focus. And the Lord just, I yielded, and he's given me a focus, and it's helped my walk with him. And it's like, but I could have said, no, pastor, I don't think I'm, you know, you may, and I could have made up excuses and, you know, told pastor that I didn't want to do it. But I would have missed out on a blessing that the Lord has given me. And sometimes it's looking backwards to see that this was something he presented to me, and I had to yield to what he was telling me to do, and I've gotten a blessing out of it. So, well, thank you. So, Romans 12:1. Let's read that real quick Romans 12:1 before somebody comes, so we can get past this question here. Okay, so it's talking about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, and that's basically but that's what 12:1 is, that you, the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is our reasonable service. Okay, that word reasonable means, it's like, just basically what reasonable means. It's, God's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't asked for everybody. This is a simple thing. He gave everything for us, and why can't...
Not asking anything he didn't do.
Exactly. God gave everything for us. Everything. And just like from Easter, I keep going back to Easter and what Christ truly gave to me and did for me. That it's like... And I can't simply come to church every service. I can't simply read my Bible in the morning. I can't go out and just share, give somebody a tract. I find that hard to do when he did all of this for me. So that's being yielded and submissive. Remember what Christ gave up for you. He was yielded. He was submissive to the Father. He came down here and gave everything for us. That's... If we keep that thought in our minds, then the things that he asks of us from his word, from our walk with him, from what he shows us when we do our devotions, it's our reasonable service. We said yes to him when we accepted him as our Savior, that we were going to walk with him. Now, we just kind of have to put our feet to it and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. It may not be easy, but I'm going to do it anyway. So, we'll finish with question 8. So if you want to read page 32, kind of go over some of these, look up some of the verses, and that's where we'll pick up next week. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Oh.